Welcome to page 40. We're officially in the Paul channel, okay? We're going to talk about the missionary journeys, the crazy things that Paul did, everything he endured. I mean, not everything, but man, this is like total, yeah, action hero Paul. It's crazy. It's exciting. When I taught, I used to run around the school with my students and having them act out these things. And then I'd make them play a game of guess which story is not in the Acts of the Apostles. And they couldn't tell because all of them are so fantastical. It's like, which one is not real? I don't know. All of them seem unreal. So we had a lot of fun with the Acts of the Apostles. Now, you'll see at the top of your page, you've got first, second, third, fourth, and you got little arrows. What's going on? Okay, so in your first little arrow, up where the arrow points to, you can write Council of Jerusalem. Okay, Council of Jerusalem. And then in that arrow after the third one, you can write Imprisoned for a While in Judea. Okay, because those are interruptions to his missionary journeys. But besides that, we've got his first missionary journey, second, third, and then the fourth one, which is really just he's taken as a prisoner on the way to Rome. Okay, so in column format, I guess, is how I'd recommend taking these notes. You can do whatever you'd like, but I'm going to give you details about the first, second, third, and fourth of the journeys and kind of the people he met and what he did a little bit. Okay, this is going to be a fast-forwarded version, as usual in this course, right? Because we're just doing a beginner's course, a crash course, trying to understand generally what's going on here. With this, I want you to go read Acts of the Apostles in the chapters that I'm talking about and see for yourself more of the details, okay? So in the first missionary journey, he goes to Asia Minor and Turkey. Well, sorry, Asia Minor is Turkey, modern day Turkey. And it's the chapters Acts 13 through 14. Turkey, 13 through 14, okay? And by the way, his method in general is that he goes somewhere, he preaches, he appoints a pastor, and then he leaves, writes back letters to check in on them. And sometimes in his journeys, he regroups, doubles back on where he's been and visits them. But that's mostly his thing. He stops somewhere, he preaches, he starts a church, he leaves, he writes letters. And that's where we get a lot of the letters of Paul to the Corinthians because he started a church in Corinth, to the Thessalonians because he started a church in Thessalonica, whatever. So first missionary journey, he goes to Turkey and it's Acts 13 through 14. And he's got a partner named Barnabas who goes with him. A couple of his highlights is that he blinds a magician who's trying to get in his way. He preaches to great crowds. He heals a crippled man, but then that crippled man starts to worship him and say that he's like Zeus. So he's like, no, I'm not like Zeus. Don't worship me. And then most notably, he is stoned, dragged out of the city because they think he's dead. And then he like kind of rises from the dead, or at least is completely healed, and then goes back to keep preaching. So those are some main events that happen in that first missionary journey. Okay, that little arrow, like I said before, is the Council of Jerusalem. He goes back home. After his first missionary journey, he's back to Jerusalem to have that first Council of Jerusalem, the one in which Peter makes his final decision, and Big James concedes and says, okay, Peter is right. Okay, then he goes on a second missionary journey. The second missionary journey is to Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, same place as before, but he adds Greece, okay? And this is Acts 16 through 18. Two more chapters full of crazy things, okay? Now, Barnabas doesn't come with him. Barnabas and Paul disagree over whether or not to take a guy named John Mark. John Mark is Mark the gospel writer, okay? So Paul takes Silas instead, okay? So goodbye Barnabas, goodbye John Mark. Paul is taking Silas on this missionary journey. And he meets one of his new besties, Timothy. He's not really a bestie. Timothy is a young guy who Paul appoints as pastor. And his letters to Timothy are endearing and sweet, and he loves him. And Timothy's the pastor of a church, so he also gives him some advice on running his church. Other things that happen here is he meets Lydia, the purple cloth seller, and she converts. So there's a story about her. He has a vision of a man in Macedonia pleading for help. So they go there, and they find the man from his dream, and they visit him. There is a slave girl with demon that annoys them and follows them. So Paul exorcises her out of convenience. He's like, this girl is driving me nuts. I'm just going to cast the demon out. Like, he's not afraid at all. And because of the exorcism, they're beaten and jailed. And an earthquake opens the door and they are free. And in this earthquake, the jailer is going to kill himself because he's failed and let the prisoners go free. And Paul saves the jailer, baptizes him and baptizes his family. Crazy stuff, right? I'm not done. There's more to the second journey. They preach the gospel and flee, okay? And then they get to Athens, Greece, and there's this altar to an unknown god. And maybe you already know this story, but Paul basically is preaching and he's like, you have an altar to an unknown god. You worship somebody you don't even know. Let me introduce you to him. That's my god. And so he uses, it's called enculturation. He uses the culture that's already there and he shows how God fits into it. He sees the seed of the words, okay, which is the seeds of truth, of longing for God, hidden in the hearts of the people under natural law. He sees that they want God. They have a God that they don't even know who he is, but they know he must be real. And it's the longing for God expressed there. So he uses that in order to teach them about God. And then also he works as a tent maker for a little bit in Corinth, and he stays 6 months there. So he actually works a little bit. Generally, the apostles are supported by people's donations because they're hard at work preaching and they need other people to help support their ministry. But here, Paul, he's a tent maker. So interesting. He's a Pharisee and a tent maker. He's got like a trade. And so he lives in Corinth for 6 months. Okay, that's a second missionary journey. And then he goes on a third missionary journey. Again, like I said, he doubles back on the places he's visited. So he goes to Turkey, like he did for the first one. And he goes to Greece, like he did for the second one, but now he's going to Jerusalem, okay? This is recorded in Acts 19 through 21. Paul does a confirmation in Ephesus. He lays hands on, he prays, we see this confirmation happen, and then he stays in Ephesus for 2 years. This is a big deal, okay? There is a riot in Ephesus, started actually because of Paul. Paul is denouncing the Greek goddess Artemis, okay, the goddess of the hunt. And one of the seven wonders of the ancient world was the statue of Artemis in Ephesus. So the fact that he was bad-mouthing Artemis when he's in the place of the statue of Artemis, big deal. And a craftsman who made statues of Artemis for a living, he was like, I'm going out of business here because this guy's bad-mouthing Artemis. So he's threatened by Paul and he starts a riot and tries to run Paul out of town because Paul speaks poorly about Artemis. Isn't that crazy? This is also where we get the story of the young man falling asleep when Paul is preaching. The young man is sitting in the window. He falls asleep. He falls to his death, dies. Paul raises him from the dead and continues preaching. It basically says, don't fall asleep again in my sermon. What? We also get a crazy story here where people are touching pieces of cloth, like little handkerchiefs to Paul, and taking them to sick people. And the cloth touched to Paul heals the people. Also, he was prophesied to, somebody gave him a prophecy that if he went to Jerusalem, he'd be imprisoned and handed over to the Gentiles, but he went anyways. He has this moment to testify before imprisonment, and he does beautifully. So then he is, as we see in that second little arrow at the top of the page, he is imprisoned for a while in Judea. And as a matter of fact, his last missionary journey is not really a missionary journey. It's a journey to Rome because he's a prisoner. So he's being taken from Judea to Rome. And on his way there, he is shipwrecked, okay? And he's shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And it's crazy because he survives the shipwreck, but then as soon as he gets to the island of Malta, a viper bites him. And the people are like, oh my gosh, this poor guy, he must be evil because he survived a shipwreck only to be bitten by a poisonous viper. Like, God must hate this guy, which is ironic because God loves this guy because he's bitten by a viper, but he's not hurt. But he ends up in Rome under house arrest, still preaching the kingdom of God. But we don't see him die, but we know he's going to die. And we know that Paul dies actually because he's a Roman citizen by just a sword chopped, like a beheaded. How do you say that? And then Peter dies a much more painful death through an upside down crucifixion. Okay, that's what Paul has been up to in the Paul Channel. That's a lot, right? A lot of crazy stories. Like I said, oh, and sorry, that's chapters 27 through 28, that fourth missionary journey. So go back, read these chapters in conjunction with what I said in your understanding of who Paul is and what he's doing. And then it's also fun to really pair the letters when he goes to like a church. When you see Paul approach Corinth, go read Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, and match it, because every place he goes that's mentioned in Acts, he writes a letter. Actually, not every single place. He goes a lot of places. But every single letter that's written, there's a place in Acts that he goes, which is pretty cool. Okay, let's get into those letters, actually. Let's go to page 41.